the Greens, is it possible? I mean, could you work with them at all? I mean, I didn't see them being that. You work with Jeanette and
Chad. There are some issues we have common ground on. We have common ground, as it turns out, by coincidence, on our policy on student loan repayments, and equally on having a free annual health check for all citizens. So I have no difficulty working with the Greens on issues we have in common, in the sense that I've got no difficulty working with anyone on issues we have in common. But what gets me about the Greens is their sort of sanctimonious approach to the world, that because they care for the environment, that everyone else that doesn't see it their way is somehow a lesser being. Their attitudes, I think, are purist, idealistic, and unworkable. And I think that having them near government, this is not personal to them, but having parties with those philosophies near government will scare international investors, will make New Zealand a laughing stock, and will take us backwards. And I just don't have that aspiration for this country.
Because you mentioned that Nigel Tanks, you know, it was a joke that he would be Attorney General. He won't even be in Cabinet. He's like number 8 on their list.
Well, he's number 7, I think. But I think people do need to start and think about that. I use him as an example. I think there are more serious contenders. I mean, there has been the spectre of Jeanette Fitzsimons as Minister of Energy, and I think that is something that New Zealanders would be concerned about, particularly in industry. Rod Donald has got an economic interest. He's vehemently anti-free trade. This is a small trading nation that survives on its ability to trade and enter into agreements with other countries. I think some issues arise there. Keith Lott, who's supported every known terrorist cause on earth, in a foreign affairs role.
Well, Keith might take exception with that, but let's just go back to it. I mean, really, Rod Donald's unlikely to be Minister of Free Trade, and Jeanette Fitzsimons does have an interest in energy.
Well, it depends what deal they negotiate. I mean, I don't know. These are issues that people need to think about.
That's if they were in positions which, like, say, Jeanette Fitzsimons did something with conservation, and Rod Donald did something with his interest in economic development that had nothing to do with free trade, and then why would it be so hard to work with them if they weren't clashing? I mean, why would it be so hard?
It depends on what the issues are, frankly. And I must say, one of the things that amazes me is that Helen Clark is a remarkably cautious and risk-averse person. And I'm surprised that she is allowing herself to be put in a position where she is embracing, or seem to be embracing, the Greens, because I don't think, in fact, I know from conversations with her what her views about them are, and I don't think that she is at all comfortable at the prospect of having to work with them.
Well, the one thing, though, is the Greens have said, we're definitely going with Labour, and you've said, well, I'm not sure, I can't, we'll have to wait till the elections. Do you think that gives them a bargaining chip?
No, it doesn't. They've got nowhere else to go. What I'm saying is that the role of politicians, and particularly smaller parties in this, is not to try and jack up the election result. Our role is to work with the cards that the public deal on election day. And if you back yourself into the corner of saying, I'll only work with these people on these terms, or those people on those terms, you're effectively screwing the scrum. What we're saying is, people vote, the choices become obvious. We then look at the outcome and say, OK, where do we fit in this scenario? Can we work with the players that look likely to be able to put a government together? That's a far more reasonable and responsible position. It's not about avoiding the issue. It's saying, let the public have their say, and then we work with the public's decision.
But a lot of the public might say, well, we want to vote for Labour, so we'll vote for the Greens because they'll work with Labour, we'll vote for ACT because they'll support
National. I think that's the problem. I think a lot of people who might want to vote for Labour or National become worried by the fact that out to their flanks are parties that have more extreme positions than them. By contrast, United Future brings them back towards the centre. And I think there's a lot of people on the fringes of those major parties that say, I'd quite like to see the National Party in office, but I actually don't agree with the ACT philosophy. So United Future is a convenient repository for my vote. Equally, Labour voters, Conservative Labour voters, who quite like to see the Labour Party in power, but don't want to see it having to work with the Greens.
How do those people feel, though, on election? Like, how did the people that voted for United Future feel when you went with Labour after the last election? If they wanted to see National
in power? According to the opinion polls, I think from memory 60% of them said we made the correct call going with Labour. Curiously, what there was opposition to was the fact that we hadn't entered a formal coalition, that we'd only done a confidence and supply agreement. So I think that It depends on the circumstances at the time. We made the right call in 2002. The question that we now have to consider is what the circumstances are in 2005 and what our call will be.
Okay, and just on that, you weren't in a formal coalition.
No.
So this time around, your MPs are more experienced.
Yeah.
Who can you see working well in cabinet?
I don't want to name individuals because I think my problem is if I have to pick people to go into a cabinet, it's not who the hell do I pick, it's who the hell do I leave out. I think that you can look at each one of our MPs who has distinguished themselves in their portfolio areas, and you could say there is someone who could do the job that we would want them to do. I've got no qualms on that score, but if I had to pick...
Mark Alexander, for example, he's an eager beaver on law and order,
yeah,
but
well,
could you see him work in
Gordon Copeland, Mark Alexander, Judy Turner, Larry Baldock, Murray Smith, Bernie Ogilvie, they're all people who've made a contribution. They're all people who could easily slot into a role in their particular area. It's not a question of scratching them sort of around and thinking, who the hell could we put forward for this? I think that one of the things that these MPs have shown over the last 3 years is that they've got to grips with the job, and the fact that that in some areas, and you've mentioned Mark Alexander, and Judy Turner's another one, Gordon Copeland's another, Larry Baldock's another, people actually see them as being already people of stature in those portfolio areas. That's a terrific achievement.
The MP at National told me, he said, there is difficulty with personalities on the centre-right, but United Future people, they're okay, we don't mind them. Does that sort of feel around the behind?
I think that's true. I think that that we've earned our spurs. We came in at the last election with a lot of people wondering what on earth had happened, and some MPs who were very surprised to be here. But I think 3 years down the track, there's more than grudging respect for what we've done and for the capabilities of those individuals.